For KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. Now the news. Two Alaska state troopers facing assault charges over alleged conduct during their arrest of the wrong man in Kenai last year won't go to trial until next February. That's after a judge pushed the trial date back Wednesday in Kenai Superior Court. 50-year-old former Trooper Sergeant Joseph Miller Jr. and 43-year-old Jason Woodruff each face a felony assault charge. The state charged the officers last summer after body-worn camera footage appeared to show them beating, tasing, and sicking a police dog on Benjamin Tika near Kenai's Dobbins Spec Park last spring. Troopers later said they'd been attempting to arrest Tika's cousin, who shares the same last name, for failing to appear for a 10-day jail sentence. Miller and Woodruff were initially charged with and pleaded not guilty to a misdemeanor assault. Then a Kenai grand jury upped those charges to felony assault, to which they also pleaded not guilty. The troopers' trial was originally scheduled for this June, but on Thursday, their lawyers asked for more time. Superior Court Judge Thomas Matthew scheduled a pretrial check-in hearing for later this year and a new tentative trial date for February of 2026. If the case goes to trial next February, it will be almost 2 years after the assault is alleged to have occurred.
As you're all aware, there's certainly emphasis on trying to get all cases to trial. This one is not certainly the oldest one in the court system, but I'm sensitive to the rights of the victim, to the desire to get these cases moving forward.
Thursday's hearing comes amid a statewide backlog of trial cases and lengthy pretrial delays. An investigation published earlier this year by the Anchorage Daily News and ProPublica found some cases delayed as long as a decade. Shortly after, the Alaska Supreme Court put new limits on how long a criminal case can be postponed. The order takes effect in May and limits delays to 270 days for cases filed in or after 2022. Daryl Thompson, who's representing Tika in the case, said during the hearing he's not surprised the delay was requested.
Well, for the victim, it has to be out there even longer to get his day in court to be heard and to have that justice be met. But as a defense attorney, I do understand that lots of things can happen.
Clint Campion, Woodruff's attorney, said in response to Thompson that he and his client spent 3 full days reviewing case materials.
This is not a matter where we haven't been diligently working through discovery, but there's a lot of material to discover. It's a relatively novel case for the state.
Matthews says he hopes to set a firm trial date at the August hearing. Matthews is based in Anchorage. He was assigned the case after all of Kenai's 3 Superior Court judges recused themselves from the case. A trooper spokesperson said Wednesday via email that Miller is no longer employed by the state of Alaska. Woodruff is still employed by the state, but was taken out of service when the department learned about the Tika arrest. The police dog deployed in the arrest is no longer with the department. Miller and Woodruff's lawyers each said Thursday they're preparing motions to dismiss their clients' respective indictments. And Fairbanks Senior Center officials worry that federal funding cuts will limit the organization's ability to provide Meals on Wheels to elderly people who need the nutrition assistance program. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Executive Director Darlene Souple says the nonprofit has for years been delivering food to the area's growing population of elders, both at their homes through Meals on Wheels and with so-called congregate meals served at the senior center.
So we serve approximately 240 people a day, including a congregate program.
Souple says the center also helps out other area organizations that provide meals to elderly people, including the Fairbanks Native Association and a North Pole-based assisted living facility called Eagle's Wings. But in recent years, the senior center has struggled to pay for the nutrition program, partly because its state funding hasn't risen for a couple of years now.
There's approximately 31 people on our wait list. We have gone up to as high as 50. The aging population is growing so quickly, and funding is not keeping up with that.
To make matters worse, the Trump administration is now cutting federal support for senior nutrition programs from the Department of Health and Human Services. The president's executive order issued last month cut more than 40% of the staff that oversees programs for seniors. It also ordered parts of the agency to be reorganized, including the Administration for Community Living, or ACL, which oversees Meals on Wheels nationwide.
With ACL And then the layoffs within the Health and Social Service Department here in the state of Alaska, it is very hard for me to say. Meals on Wheels is not going to be impacted short term or long term.
Until recently, the senior center got 70 cents for a plate of food that costs about $4. Now it gets about 30 cents a plate. The organization pays for the rest of the meal through its own funds, as well as federal, state, and local matches, donations from the public and businesses, and volunteer labor. Suplee says she thinks her organization will be able to keep all the elders who are now getting Meals on Wheels, but it won't have enough money to add more from its waiting list.
If we don't have the funds to put the food on the plate, then our waiting list builds.
The Trump administration's layoffs and cuts to the U.S. Department of Agriculture budget will make the veggies that go on those plates more expensive, says Ashley Edgington. She's the Senior Center's Meals on Wheels volunteer coordinator.
The USDA has a lot of funding directed at our local food banks so that they can purchase local fresh produce, and we go to the food bank.
Suplee says the state projects steady growth in the number of elderly people in the Fairbanks North Star borough in the coming years, especially those 80 years of age and older.
The 80 and older cohort has a 211% growth rate between 2025 and 2030. If we have 5,000 80 and older in the year 2030, and we have 300 assisted living home beds, how are we going to safeguard them?
She says all the turmoil in Washington frustrates the caregivers and the elders that they care for.
The employees come to work every day to support the mission, and that is making sure that no senior goes without. Very difficult to do if you are hearing about mass firings in health and social service that really doesn't have any rhyme or reason. And so, yes, it is a very big concern for seniors.
That's why the Senior Center is partnering with Meals on Wheels America, a nationwide organization that's helping nonprofits and the seniors they care for contact their elected officials.
I get that there are a lot of seniors that don't do technology, and so picking up the phone and making a phone call, all you have to do is speak to a recording. That's it. I'm a senior, and I'm worried about my future.
Suplee says the Senior Center's begun posting messages on Facebook encouraging senior citizens and their families to contact the organization. For KUAC News, I'm Tim Ellis.
And the first of three new Coast Guard fast response cutters to be homeported in Kodiak is officially ready for duty. And KMXT's Davis Hovey attended the commissioning ceremony last week and has this story.
Dozens of Coast Guard members and civilians dressed in blue military suits, blazers, and dresses filled rows of temporary seating inside the air station Kodiak's main hangar. The official commissioning of the cutter John Witherspoon included speeches from Coast Guard top brass, including Rear Admiral Megan Dean, the commander of the 17th District.
Captain Witherspoon lived by a simple yet powerful mantra: learn, think, then act. These words serve as a guiding principle, reminding us each that thoughtful leadership, critical thinking, and decisive action are the cornerstone of excellence.
John Witherspoon, the cutter's namesake, was the first African-American to command a medium endurance cutter. His officers often called him Papa Spoon, and many of them were affectionately referred to as his teaspoons. The John Witherspoon first arrived in Kodiak in January and has been maneuvering in nearby bays while the crew gets familiar with the vessel before it is deployed for its first mission. The commissioning means it's now ready for active service. Regina Nash is Witherspoon's daughter. She was one of a few family members in attendance for the ceremony and was named as the vessel's sponsor. She says her father, who passed away in the 1990s, included the Coast Guard as part of his family.
Everybody here on the Coast Guard base and everybody who put this whole thing together had treated me like royalty. And like they always say, and you, if you can talk to any Coast Guard person, it's family. This is a big family, and I'm proud to be part of it. And it's an honor to be here.
This cutter is the first of three to be homeported in Kodiak. Each new vessel is named after individuals that leadership deem as exemplary Coast Guard members and heroes. As part of the April 3rd ceremony, Witherspoon's nephew, Troy Patterson, presented the long glass to the roughly 25-member crew, which signifies the officer of the deck's authority on the ship and helps set up the vessel's first watch. The commissioning ceremony concluded with another Coast Guard tradition, raising the colors. Lieutenant Caitlin Lane is the John Witherspoon's executive officer. She says the operational schedule has not been determined yet, but the cutter will be patrolling around the Gulf of Alaska, Bering Sea Aleutians, and potentially Cook Inlet.
We want to be localized in an area where we are supporting the fishermen as best as we can. And so it definitely is an ever-changing sort of area of operations.
The John Witherspoon is 154 feet in length, can travel at a speed of more than 28 knots, and has the capacity to remain at sea for longer periods of time than the decommissioned island-class patrol boats. The cutter is set to begin operations in the coming weeks. Reporting from Air Station Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
From the KTOO studio in Juneau, I'm Mike Lane.